So my prayer is always for you is that God's grace and his peace and his mercy would flow over you all the days of your life. Amen. So again, this is message number 5 of 10. This one is titled Good News, Baptism Washes You Clean. Now, we have a lot of churchy words in the church. Words that we use in the church, we don't really use other places. And stranger still is, there's a number of different languages, right? We have words in Hebrew. We have, in our Lutheran heritage, we have some German words still lurking around. We often have words in Latin. Baptism, you don't probably use baptism a lot outside of church these days, mostly because baptism is actually a Greek word. It actually just means to apply water. To just apply water. So when you're washing your dishes or washing the floor or when you water your garden or wash your hands, you're baptizing. You're applying water. Now in the church we have something called holy baptism, the holy applying of water. And that really is something different. So as we start exploring those things, maybe the first question we need to ask is who commanded us to do this in the first place? Is this just something we made up because it looked like a good idea? Not at all. You heard it in the gospel reading. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So wherever you go, make disciples of all nations." Disciples are students of Jesus. Make disciples of them and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus says, "Teach them to do everything I have commanded you, and remember that I am with you until the end of time." Jesus, God himself, commanded us to give holy baptism to all people. Both in the Bible and in many, many other documents we have from around that same time, we learn that the church faithfully carried out Jesus' command on all people of all ages from all lands. Now, as I stated earlier, baptism simply means to apply water. There is, I don't know if it's an odd one, but there's kind of a controversy in the church about what is the right way to apply the water. Some say you have to sprinkle the water. Some say you have to pour the water. Others say you got to be dunked down in the water. What does the Bible say? It really doesn't. It's important to remember that the amount of water doesn't affect God's ability to do God's work as we obey his instructions. I've baptized two infants, both of whom I could hold in my hand. They're born very early. We did it in the hospital, right? And in that instance, it really was just 3 little drops of water and the Word of God. Are they less baptized than someone who gets dunked in the Pacific Ocean? Does more water make it better? It doesn't. God is not limited, right? Our job is to obey Jesus' command to baptize. And to do that, one simply has to use water and God's word, because that's what we were taught to do. So who can do it? I mean, who has the right or the authority, the ability to perform a baptism? Well, this is what Scripture says. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, people should think of us. He's talking about the disciples, basically the pastors. That's who he's talking about as he speaks here. People should think of us as servants of Christ and managers who are entrusted with the mysteries of God. So generally, when we have a baptism, it's done by the pastor. And that's really for a number of reasons. For this congregation, you've called me to an honorable office, and you've asked me to shepherd you in the ways that God would have us walk, and that's a weighty responsibility. That's placed on my shoulders, that you have put there really through thoughtful prayer, and also by God's calling to this office. So usually, we do a baptism as a public event before the congregation and in a worship service by the pastor. And then the events are even recorded in the records of the church. Now, do we have to do all of that stuff? Is all of that necessary for a baptism to be real or to be valid? No. But we do it because we understand what the purpose of the sacraments are. Sacrament is just a sacred act. And the purpose of them is to remove doubt and strengthen faith. That's why God gave them. But so by making baptism, holy baptism, a public act, and then recorded in the church records, a person who might later question, was I really baptized, can go to the church records and see that they were in fact baptized in accordance with, in obedience to God's command, and before many witnesses. The same goes for sponsors. Sponsors aren't required. You don't have to have them, but they serve a useful purpose, right? They can testify to the fact that they were present and witnessed that baptism. They can help the parents as they raise those children as Christians destined for eternal life. Though generally that's how things are done. And we do that basically, we call it to maintain good church order. If the need arises, anyone can perform a baptism. The baptism is not better or more holy just because I, the pastor, do it. A person's faith does not make God's work in baptism stronger or weaker. In fact, suppose you had a pastor who had over the time actually left the faith, right? He's found out to be a complete fraud. He doesn't believe anything anymore, but he's close enough to retirement. He just wants to kind of, he's just doing it as a job, working out his last years to get his retirement and just get out and be done with it. Now, I know that's kind of an extreme example, but now you have an atheist performing baptisms. As strange as that may sound, is the baptism still holy baptism? Sure it is. Absolutely. It's not the faith of the one being baptized, nor the faith of their family, nor the faith of the pastor that makes holy baptism a sacred act that provides God's gifts. It's obedience to God's command when water and God's words are used as instructed. The only one who really matters in baptism is God. It's God coming down to pursue us, to come and save his precious child. It's God acting on you. It's God instilling in you that saving faith. And with that understanding, who should we baptize? Well, everyone and anyone, because everyone, anyone, we're all in need of this flood that does more than just wash away dirt. It washes away sin. There's no distinction between people before God. Everybody is in need of this gift that is offered to all. But that does come to bringing up another kind of a controversy in the church. And this one strikes me as a bit more odd. The question is, should babies be baptized? And like I said, I find this one kind of odd, I guess, maybe because I've read so many of those, like that document I held up. Other documents written around that time show us that infants have always been baptized in the church. In fact, we have letters from three gentlemen. I think it's two. They were students of the disciples. I think it's two from John and one from Peter. I'd have to go back and look up those documents again. But who they were baptized by John and by Peter, disciples of Jesus, and as infants, and then later grew up to become pastors, and then wrote about the fact that they were made children of God as infants in holy baptism. It's what the church has always done throughout all of history. You can track that through the entire history of the church. So those who would state that baptism has to be done after some kind of age of accountability, they really can't back that up by Scripture or any of the ancient documents or traditions. It just isn't there. This age of accountability that is put on is usually, it bounces around age 12, although some kick it all the way up to age 18. But the only age ascribed to baptism in all of Scripture, in fact, in most of the documents, the only age really ascribed to it is age 30. That's when Jesus was baptized. The Holy Christian Church has always baptized anyone of any age who is brought to the font for God to wash them clean. This is really is a kind of a, this new idea of waiting to a certain age is kind of new, and it's the idea that it's only reserved for those who can understand it. But again, it can't be backed up by documents really written before the year 1500, is kind of around the time when that idea started coming out. But Scripture says in Romans chapter 3, there is no difference between people because all people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. David writes in Psalm 51, indeed I was born guilty. I was a sinner when my mother conceived me. Peter says in Acts chapter 2, all of you must turn to God and change the way you think and act and must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. This promise belongs to you and to your children and to everyone who is far away. It belongs to everyone who worships the Lord our God. Even Jesus in Matthew chapter 18, here he's talking about that we should have faith like a child. And those who don't receive Christ as a child would cannot enter heaven. He gives a grave warning. He says it would be better, he would be best for the person who causes one of these little ones to lose faith to be drowned in the sea with a large stone hung around his neck. When you think about who's saying that, when the author of life says you'd be better off dead, that's a grave warning. But it's important to remember that it's not me doing anything there. It's not you doing anything there. It's not the person being baptized doing anything there. It's all God, every bit of it. And God's the one giving everything because in truth, what is it you think you have that God needs that he didn't give you first? Right? We need everything from him. Baptism is one of those means through which God gives us his gifts. So then what are the gifts we receive from holy baptism? Galatians chapter 3 says, you are all God's children by believing in Christ Jesus. Clearly, all of you were baptized in Christ's name. All of you who were baptized in Christ's name have clothed yourselves with Christ. That's what I talked about with the kids. We have been clothed with Christ through holy baptism. Acts 22 says, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and have your sins washed away as you call on his name. Mark 16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And Titus 3, Titus is a little bit older guy who's actually being taught to be a pastor by the Apostle Paul. And in writing that letter, he writes, Paul writes to Titus, when God our Savior made his kindness and love for humanity appear, he saved us, but not because of anything we had done to gain his approval. Instead, because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing, through baptism, through the washing in which the Holy Spirit gives us new birth and renewal. Baptism is far more than just a symbolic act to show your devotion to God. It is, in fact, God's act on you, through which the Holy Spirit takes up residence within you. It regenerates all who enjoy this sacred act, which is commanded by God for the purpose of instilling faith. Through the faith instilled in us by holy baptism, we get that assurance. That is that unique thing in all of the faiths of the world. Christianity stands out as something unique. You ask a Christian, I could ask all of you, are you going to heaven? And you'd say, yes. Who do you think you are to make that claim? How do you speak for God? I don't, neither do you. But God said so. We have that assurance of salvation because of faith. Those who believe and are baptized are saved. Through this sacrament, this sacred act, we're made children of God and heirs of eternal life. Now, that was just water, right? That's just water in there. How can just water do that? Well, it can't, right? But obedience to God through the use of water, like he said, and his word, like he said, does do that great thing. We don't typically think of a baptism as an awesome and powerful miracle of God. We kind of talked about that a bit last week. We want those miracles where the earth shakes and the thunder cracks, because then we know God is there. But in baptism, we've had a few here. Does the earth shake? Does the wind blow? Does thunder crack? Does a voice from heaven thunder down? None of that happens. In fact, the truth is, you kind of get used to them so much so that when you see them, you're thinking, well, isn't that nice that the baby didn't cry? And we forget that in that moment, in that instant, God reaches down and performs the most amazing miracle. Takes one who is born a seditionist to the throne, an enemy, and changes that person into what God wants that person to be, his own child. How do you get any more amazing than that? How do we know that happens? Because God said so. And when God says it, God gets what he wants. That's why we call him God. But is it possible for someone who's not been baptized to be saved? Well, the short answer is God can do whatever God wants. Again, he's God. He is not under the law. We are. Right? Jesus said there was a criminal, two criminals, right, crucified with Jesus, one on either side. And the truth is, at first they were both ridiculing Jesus. But after some time, in watching how Jesus acted while nailed to posts, seeing him still speaking of forgiveness, still telling them he's the one who came to save them, one of the criminals says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believes. And what did Jesus say? I can guarantee this truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. Now, do you think somebody said, hey, one of you battle-hardened Roman soldiers, could you baptize the guy quick? Right? That didn't happen. He was never baptized. God can do whatever he wants. You'll get to meet that guy someday and learn his name, because he's already home. Jesus said so. God can and will do whatever God wants to do. He's not under the law. We are. So where we can obey God's law, we should, we must. To do otherwise is to show contempt and disrespect for God's word and for God. But what about when matters are beyond our ability to obey God's law? Well, then it becomes God's problem. And he will deal with it as he pleases. Do we have any hope? What if parents, you know, you've maybe heard this example before, they're on their way to church and there's a car accident and the baby dies unbaptized. What assurance do we have? The truth is, Scripture is riddled with how much God loves especially little children and cares for them. There are some verses that speak very clearly to that. We we can't say I know for a fact, but we can have very strong confidence that God cares for and saves this child. We put that child in God's hands. To say any more than that is to go beyond Scripture, but we can look at how God acts in Scripture, right? But what's important is be obedient to God's law. Don't put God to the test. Holy baptism really is an important part of the life of every believer. Listen to what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3. It says, "You are all God's children by believing in Christ Jesus. Clearly, all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." He goes on to say, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female." This gift is for everyone. You are all the same in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs as God promised. Romans chapter 6 says, "When we were baptized into his death. We were placed into the tomb with him," Jesus. "As Christ was brought back from death to life by the glorious power of the Father, so we too should live a new kind of life. If we've become united with him in a death like his, certainly we will also be united with him when we come back to life as he did." See, this is the wonder of our God. Even though we're stained to the very marrow of our bones, the very core of our hearts, with the tar of sin, he still saves us. He still loves us. He still calls us his own. And he provides the means to wash us and to make us clean. He does all of this out of his desperate love and mercy and his desperate desire to call each and every one of us his own and to call us safely home. That's why Scripture says, "The fool in his heart says there is no God." Nothing could be further from the truth. When you think of all that God has given us, how foolish can a person be to have a God who loves him so much, to take that love and simply toss it away? And with it, eternal life, that eternal life of blessings that you can't imagine. You can't fathom this side of heaven's gates. That's why my charge to you is don't be that fool. Cling to the promise of God. Hold on to and obediently feed that faith God has given you as God directed. Do all of that, knowing that it is through that free gift of faith that God will rescue you from Satan's clutches, from hell's unending pain. And he does that through word and sacrament. That's why he gave those to us. Amen.